is WMVP WSHE HD2, Chicago.
A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Whoops, whoops. Jesse threw a trivia question at me. I'm trying to get the last piece of it. There's four legs. I've got three of them. Happy Monday. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Jesse Rogers in for Yerk. The good kid's back tomorrow. I think he might be golfing on this beautiful Monday.
He should be.
He should
be. It is gorgeous.
Beautiful.
I should be golfing today and co-hosting tomorrow. It's going to be like a high of 59 tomorrow.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't mind a high. Is the sun going to be out?
That I don't know.
If the sun's out, Chris Pluck says yes. I'm fine with 59 if the sun's out.
I'd rather do this, though.
Today. Jesse said to me right as we were going on there, he goes, well, it's May 15th. Baseball season's about it. We're 20% in, give or take.
16th, yeah.
Yeah, May 16th. I'm sorry. Yeah. Today's the 16th. We're through May 15th. He said, four guys have double-digit homers in baseball. Is that a lot or a little? I said, that's a good question. I think it's about right.
We started a week late, remember, April 7th to May 16th. I feel like there should be more than four.
Maybe.
Normally, you know, in the old days, last year.
But the weather sucked and the ball and all that, right?
So maybe four is right, and you got three of them.
I got Judge, I got Stanton, I got
Buxton.
Byron Buxton. I'm stuck on the last one.
This guy has 11.
He even gave me a clue. AL West.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's not Shohei.
Nope.
Is it?
You won't be surprised, but it's not like a name.
Corey Seager.
Nope. He's good, though. He's good.
This guy's good. Is it?
Buxton has 11 in 23 games.
Crazy.
Amazing.
Who is it?
It's Yordan Alvarez.
Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah, right.
Duh.
Right. But no, it's not a name that just pops in.
Ah, but it makes perfect sense. Well, Jesse is here. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk basketball. Do I have the count right, guys? Were there seven game sevens this weekend between the NBA and the NHL? Seven. Now, the NBA games last night were both blowouts.
Yeah.
The Bucks-Celtics game was better for longer, obviously.
Yes.
But when it was all said and done, it was a near 40-point swing and a blowout. You know, I was a little surprised that with 7 minutes to go, I was like, it's over.
It's over.
The Celtics have this. It's over.
My mind immediately goes to the Bulls series. Does this make the Bulls finish even worse? And I think the answer is yes. If the Bucks go on to repeat, you don't feel as bad.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Grayson Allen went from MVP to the...
That's what sucks.
You know.
What sucks is that on the day I dubbed him Captain Pudwack, he goes out and drops 25 or whatever it was against the Bulls. And I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. I called him the world's biggest Pudwack, and we won't refer to him by his Christian name any longer. And then like the next game, he had 20-something points. And I was like, man, he's really making me eat my words. But he's still a Pudwack.
He turned into one against the Celtics.
And I'm at least glad to see that Boston is a good... I don't know if it makes me feel better or worse about the Bulls. Maybe a little worse.
I'm
glad Boston's good enough to be like, yeah, he's a Pudwack and we don't care about him. We're not worried about him because he stinks.
Right.
Like, I was relieved to see that. If I take anything away from all this, because I really like Giannis, I take away the fact that Captain Pudwack is back home in Milwaukee or wherever Pudwacks go to live in the offseason. And he was terrible.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying.
He was so good against the Bulls because they can't guard anybody. We were talking about it upstairs. I mean, it feels like the Bulls are even further away, you know, after such a decent season. And then they get...
I think it feels that way.
They were just so bad at home against the good teams. And
I think it feels that way because...
Balls hurt.
Levine
needs some work on him. You know, it's like, where are they now? Sign Levine, don't sign him, you know?
I
don't know where they're going.
With or without him.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going without him. I'm not sure where they're going with him.
Right.
The problem is Giannis is 27.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum's like 24. They've never beaten Joel Embiid. Now Embiid can't play a whole season, unfortunately, for that guy. So maybe you don't worry about Embiid as much. They've never beaten him. Just they're 0-11 against Joel Embiid
Were the Bulls last year's White Sox in the sense that they beat up on everybody they should have, but then when they took that jump up, we saw it this weekend clearly. The Yankees are a better team.
Yes.
It doesn't matter by how much. We just know that right now,
the Yankees
are clearly better.
Right now.
We can pick it apart, whatever, but right now they're clearly better. the Bulls were clearly worse than the elite teams.
Yeah, they
were. But better than the bad teams. And yeah. Reminds me of the White Sox. We know the White Sox are better than the bad teams.
I'm not sure there's a team in baseball better than the Yankees right now.
Right.
I mean, if Nestor Cortez is going to pitch like this, and look, like he was good last year. I don't want to make it sound like.
But this is now.
This is like next level
every
now.
Every 5 days now.
And if Montgomery and Cortez can back up Gerrit Cole and.
If that lineup stays healthy.
Yeah, and if the lineup, I don't know that there's a better team in baseball than the Yankees.
No,
I'm not sure there is.
And I picked them last year to win the World Series, but they didn't stay healthy, and they weren't this good on the mound. Cortez was just kind of coming into his own.
Now he's like, oof.
And that's why I didn't love the Sox chances yesterday, because what I'm getting at is Cortez doesn't walk anybody.
No.
And the Sox don't walk anyway.
Which is weird, because they were like third in walks last year. They've kind of regressed back to the old school White Sox.
Grandel, of course, walks. He has 17, which doesn't even sound like that many. Abreu has 12. And listen to this. Nobody else has more than six.
Yeah.
And
if
no one has more than six.
If Moncada were hurt up until this week.
He had 84 last year. I believe that was the number. You're right. They should increase that total with Moncada in the lineup. But you can't be dead last in walks in this day and age because your team batting average isn't going to be that high in this era of baseball.
It's not.
The Dodgers are hitting 240, and they're a great team. The Rockies are hitting like 260, and they're in Colorado. The White Sox are hitting 227. Yesterday was a great example, Carmen, to switch gears to baseball. You had four hits against the Yankees. One in each of four innings.
Mm-hmm.
You had a home run, nobody on base. You had a single, nobody on base. You had another single, nobody on base.
They're spread out.
Right. Because in this day and age, it's even harder to string together three or four in an inning.
Yeah.
So one, you need to hit some home runs. Sox are middle of the pack. They were middle of the pack last year. But you need to do some damage with guys on base. If they're not getting on via the hit, they have to get on via the walk. They have to.
They were second in the American League in walks last year, which correlated, I think, to them being like third or fourth and on base. They're dead last in walks this year, as Jesse mentioned. They're 13th in on base percentage.
And that's in the AL. They're 13th. They're like 27th
correct.
In baseball.
Yeah.
And
that's just AL.
I mean, 283 on base, even in this day and age, that's a scary number.
That's right.
And that's why, you know, Cap, I was on with Cap today, and he kind of painted like the glasses half full. If you're 16 and 17 with a 283 on base percentage, maybe you do have room to grow, because I mean I've never seen that's a very low number. That
very
is a
low.
Very low number, even in this day and age. You have to get over 300.
You're in the bottom third in all of baseball, as you just pointed out, but you're still within a game of 500. They're a minus 30 in run differential.
Yeah,
the
and you're still a game under
plus 69. Nice.
So what? So I'll ask you. You're a fan. Is it half full or half empty?
I don't know. Yurko and I talked about this a lot on Friday. Like, I don't know how to feel about them. I do think they're a pretty good team. I think they'll win this division comfortably. The more and more we go through the season, though, you're not going to be comfortable saying that. I'm just going to sound, that's just going to be wishful thinking. I mean, 20% of the season is over.
Yeah,
16. I would not have predicted 16 and 17.
Right,
let's put it that
go.
Way.
Comfortably,
you
know? Is an interesting word.
Yeah.
So I don't know about comfortable.
What's comfortable? If you win your division by five games, that's comfortable in baseball. Don't you agree?
Maybe a little bit more than that, because five games is still down to the final few days, final week for sure.
Seven games
is comfortable,
right,
for sure.
You win it by seven, not comfortably, then maybe
just win it.
I bet you they'll win it by three to five games.
I think the word I used all last week on the radio works. They're just in a grind. They're in a grind right now and probably for the foreseeable future. And I also mentioned that maybe their peak is the second half, where last year was the first half. Like, these are glass half full thoughts. Glass half empty is, look at the numbers on the bottom of that lineup. You know, Grandel hasn't really hit in 2 years. I mean,
no.
He walks and hits a few home runs.
He was awesome when he came back last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
August and September, he was great. But we can make cases either way, and that's why I asked you the question. Lynn comes back and is the Lynn of the first half, which there's no reason why he can't be. I like Kopech, despite one inning.
Yesterday was weird, despite them
getting to him. He had 11 strikeouts, which means his stuff was good. You know, Keuchel actually showed life. Like, they're deeper on the staff than maybe I even a few weeks ago gave them credit. And you got to pitch more than anything. The bottom of everybody's lineup stinks right now. Mm. There's 170 batting averages all over the place. The last four Yankees don't have great batting averages or on base percentages. So I agree with you. I think they'll win the division. I think it'll just be a grind for a long time.
Maybe more than we thought. It just might be more of a grind than we thought. Kopech had a weird outing yesterday. I mean, he gave up one hit, right? He gave up one hit, but he walked. He got very wild in the second inning. That's when the Yankees scored their runs against him.
And then set them down in order the next three, the third inning, fourth inning, five, fourth innings.
I mean, how about that?
Is that insane?
There were some weird things in baseball yesterday. The Reds managed to lose a game.
throwing a no-hitter.
Which doesn't happen often in baseball. It's like once every decade or so you might see, maybe even more than that. I think I heard that the last time was 08, maybe, something like that.
Yeah, it was 08.
Was it 08? Yeah. So, you know, it does happen, but it's hard. The Pirates won a game without getting a hit yesterday against the Reds. There were some crazy things. Like Cease's game the other night was crazy. He struck out. He recorded 12 outs. 11 of them were strikeouts.
Right. And then gave up whatever
it was. That's not baseball, I guess. And he gave up like three home runs.
Yeah.
Totally encapsulates baseball in 2022.
It does.
He struck out 11 guys, gave up a couple of home runs. It's so wild.
Don't Stanton and Judge look like they're holding a toothpick up at the plate? I mean, no, I was in the locker room a bunch this weekend. Those guys are monsters. Rizzo looks small.
Well,
Rizzo was like the biggest Cub. He looks small compared to those guys.
Judges. And, you know, you get up next to him, and it's like, you got to be kidding.
Remember the playoffs, the Yankees and Astros? He had Judge at second base with Altuve. Yeah, it's great.
Every ball Stanton hits seems to come off the bat triple digits. Like,
Even foul balls, every one of them. He looks, I think Stoney or maybe it was Connor or DJ yesterday, he looks just so mean at the plate.
It's
like,
unbelievable.
I mean, I wouldn't want to throw him anything, you know, anywhere near the ball. You got to go way inside or way outside.
One of the two.
But that's why the Yankees will take their walks because they know they're intimidating. And if they start chasing, they're in trouble.
If you want to talk baseball with us, NBA, we're going to get into the NBA. We got a good topic on what happened in Phoenix last night. 312-332-3776. Jim's in the Ukrainian village. What's up, Jim?
Hey, I was just calling. I don't know if you guys watched the game pretty closely. The Yankees are amazing. Yesterday, Kopech had them look like he had no-hit stuff. They get him a little bit on the ropes with a couple of calls that he questions, and their 7-9 hitters took 20 consecutive pitches. Mm. 20 straight times they didn't swing the damn bat, and it totally flustered him.
It's Yankee. Jim, it's a good point. It's the Yankee way. It has been for 20 years, hasn't it? Honestly. I mean, isn't it just kind of the organizational philosophy going back to, you know, they grind. They grind it out. Their games are 4 hours long
because this
goes literally back to the late 90s and the early 2000s.
Yeah,
they were on the cutting edge of taking pitches and getting on base.
Yeah, the Red Sox and Yankees were both, you know, they picked up sort of the Oakland A's, Billy Beane thing, and that's why those playoff games in the early 2000s went on forever.
They were 5 hour games.
Yeah,
like it's you're right, Jim. I mean, they're just, they grind. They've always built their team a certain way with home run hitters, right? Always. The dimensions of the park have something to do with it. They've always had big slugging players. They've in the last 25 years, they've always, not always, I mean, I'm sure there's some outlier seasons where they've been bad, but their offenses typically produce the same way. They grind from like 1-9. Even a guy hitting .170 might give you some grinding at bats, as Jesse said. They get on base. They've got guys that can always hit home runs. Always. Always. And that, if they
stay they don't healthy, exactly like steal a lot of bases.
No,
you don't think of the Yankees organization as stealing a lot of bases.
They never have. They used to say, like in the 60s and 70s, if Mantle wanted to steal 50 bases every year, he'd steal 50 bases every year. They didn't want to. Didn't matter to them.
Do you want some breaking news after we go to commercial or before? You want to tease it? There's some White Sox breaking news.
Let's do it now. What do you think, Chris? We can't tease breaking news. It's of the utmost importance.
Is it who's pitching tonight, Jesse?
Yes.
There's been a break in at the
Watergate.
Just say it.
Okay. Johnny Cueto. Johnny Cueto is going to start tonight. They sent down Danny Mendick, so the Johnny Cueto era begins on the south side of Chicago. I love it.
Johnny Cueto. They got five games in Kansas City. Oof.
Yeah,
I only hesitated there on the breaking news because I was listening to Jesse host Pre and Post yesterday on the White Sox radio network, and you kind of signaled that he was going to be the starter today. So, like, when you say breaking news, I didn't hit the sounder because we didn't have a starter for today. The time on a decision for Cueto was running out, right?
Yeah. You're right.
But the deadline was today.
But good news.
Good
definitely news.
News.
Yeah, good news. Shout out, Jesse.
Johnny Cueto will start tonight for the White Sox.
What do people think about that? Are they excited? Like, I'm excited.
I get excited.
You know?
I mean, I hope they can, you know, listen, if he can They hold him together for a few weeks here.
That's been
and
a big
a
name
start.
In baseball for a lot of years.
I know, but he's like 38.
I know, that's my point.
Surgery's never been
so
the same.
I guess he had troubles with like the pitch clock down in the minors, the automatic strike zone, whatever.
He doesn't have to worry about it here.
Right, he doesn't have to worry about it here this year at least. So we'll see.
Sox fans, if you want to talk about what you feel about this team now after the series against the Yankees, they got another one with the Yankees coming up in New York. They're going to face Boston again. Boston hasn't been good, I know that. But 312-332-3776 is the number. Cueto starting tonight. Lots of interesting NBA and NHL from the weekend. We're going to talk about all of it. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
White Sox lost 3-4 to the Yankees. Cubs won a series in Arizona. Nico Hornor went on the IL. Anything else we should know about the Cubs?
Well, they also won in San Diego, too.
They did. They won back-to-back.
4-2 in on the West Coast road trip. Even when they were good, you know, back in the day, West Coast road trips were always difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, there's individual things I like. I've been saying that for a couple months, but together it's not going to be anything special. But, yeah, Justin Steele, 10 strikeouts.
10 Ks.
That's something to build off of.
There you go.
I like this Alfonso Rivas.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a scrappy team. There's nothing wrong with David Ross's managing. They might inch towards 500. I said that this morning with Cap and Jay Hood. But I don't think you know get too excited over a couple series wins on the road.
Dialing home for the Pirates.
Pirates, but the Pirates beat them last series.
That's true, they did.
You know, when you win a game getting no hit, you have a special team.
You have tremendous confidence in yourself when you win a baseball game. I know, I feel good. I don't know how we did it, boys, but we did. I don't know, do you feel better or worse? I don't know.
I mean, if you're the Reds, you feel awful.
Of course.
If you're the Reds, you feel awful.
If you're the winning team, you're like, boy, we suck.
Right, but
somehow we won that game. We didn't get. I know. I guess you're right.
A win's a win.
No hit, no win. Jesse's in for Yurko. Yurk's going to be back tomorrow. If you want to talk baseball with us, 312-332-3776. How are you feeling about the White Sox? I'm not sure how I feel. I'm not sure how to feel. I think they're pretty good. I'm not really overly concerned that, like, something catastrophic is going to happen and this team's going to miss the postseason. I'd be surprised at that, even with a very inconsistent team here to start. They can't, offensively, they just can't seem to fire.
Get it going. Yeah.
Robert's been great. I mean, he's got a 13-game hitting streak
but
now.
But even that, he's not
slugging a lot.
And he's not walking.
Yeah.
And so, but look, you can't complain about Luis Robert. There's plenty of other guys to complain about. Yeah, they're just not in rhythm. And I think, again, when you're last in walks, you're not going to have rhythm.
It's going to be two runs, three runs. You know, it's like everything's going to be tooth and nail. I just, that's kind of the way it feels.
But I actually like their pitching more than I thought I would. And if Cueto does anything, that's even better.
I do like their pitching. I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, just erase that inning and Kopech, like his ERA isn't that high, even after giving up three runs. So, and Cease is good, and we know Giolito's good, and Keuchel showed life, and you know when Lynn comes back, it's good enough. They got to get their offense going though, and you know Cueto is just a bonus gravy if he performs.
Well, sure,
14-year veteran, 1.35-97 career ERA, 3.45. This is a guy that faced the Cubs in 2016 playoffs.
The feeling was if they didn't win that game in San Fran,
right?
Everybody was afraid about having to face Cueto back at Wrigley, right?
That's what Madden said often. Yeah, they were worried about that game for sure. So we'll see. I wonder if Sox fans are excited. I'm just kind of excited. That's a big name in baseball over the years. And he may or may not have anything left, but I'm excited to see it.
Be more excited if Max Scherzer were starting for the White Sox tonight.
Yes. We mentioned his name in the pregame meeting.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think Merck failed to see your point on that. You know?
I've been kind of making this point for a while that...
Oh, and it's a valid point.
Yeah, everybody has. Yeah. If you were going to push all in, and this is probably the time to do it. It's not like they're a year away. This is it.
Of course, they're in their window.
You could have signed some big names or traded for some big names.
But they signed Josh Harrison.
Right.
No disrespect. Nice guy. Good interview.
Right.
You could have signed Kyle Schwarber and his 9 home runs that he's got from the left side right now.
Right.
You could have signed Carlos Correa, even if it was, okay, so it's a one-year deal. You're going to go to October.
Could have signed Max Scherzer.
You could have signed Max Scherzer, and Merck's like, oh, they'd never sign Max Scherzer. Jerry would never do that.
And yeah, that's the point. We'd never do it.
That's why we're angry.
There's probably only one guy that would, so I'll defend Merck their way. Steve Cohen would only pay that. Whatever. The point is, they didn't really push all in payroll-wise. You didn't exceed the
They're seventh in payroll, but that doesn't mean they've pushed all in.
No.
Sometimes teams look at the situation, the window, the timeline. They say, all right, now is the time. Let's spend a little more. We're going to win. It's going to help our chances at winning. Right. And that's the point of all this.
Right.
So they could have pushed more in.
And that's kind of the point of watching the Yankees against the Sox. Yankees payroll's high. Their team is that much better. Now, it doesn't always correlate. We get that. But at the end of a rebuild, this is what you do. You sort of push all in.
So hopefully at some point the offense does start to click because the pitching's been good enough. It really has.
And they always have July 31st or August 2nd this year.
But the offense is really just sputtered. I mean, there's no other better. There's no other way to really describe it. Jordan's in Maryville. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I got a question. I've called about it before. What did we do with Grandal and Abreu? They're looking older and older, it seems like, game by game. You know, you can't have your three, four guys, and I called about it before, being this bad. Do you move them down in order? Do you, you know, what do you do? But if they don't turn it around, this team is cooked.
Jordan, thanks. I don't know about Grandal as much. But
exactly. I agree. Like, your best players have to be your best players at some point.
Yeah.
So you don't, what are you going to do? Abreu seventh? I mean, he's got to come out of it or you are screwed. Grandal's a different story. Like, you know, he's been a walk guy, home run guy, but it's not like he is like this. You got to have Grandal hit to win, right? I mean, it'd be nice. But Abreu, you rely on him. So I don't agree with moving Abreu down. I don't. Grandal's a different story.
So, Jose, not that everybody wants to always hear it, but I think maybe it tells part of the story, and maybe this will give White Sox fans, it'll ease some of their concerns about Jose Abreu. His BABIP right now is .221. That is very, very low. It's off of his career. It's way off of what you would expect to see for an average, you know, what average is across the big leagues. That number's probably down this year and just in general.
Right.
But historically, that's a pretty low number.
If I were to ask you, are you worried about Jose Abreu, what would you answer?
I'd say not really.
Me too.
Although he's probably closer to 40 than 35.
Right.
But not really. And here's the reason why.
He's not going to age that quickly.
I don't think so. The BABIP is ridiculously low. You'd expect that to correct itself as the data sample builds. And Connor's made this point a couple of times. Jose Abreu's hard hit percentage this year is better than it was last year. Now, we are dealing with a smaller sample, but it's higher this year than it was last year. So there could be just something to the fact that Jose is running into some bad luck and just some outs that shouldn't be outs, and that it will correct itself. Strikeout-wise, like swing and miss, I could look at some of that data, too, just to kind of check. But I don't know that I'm overly concerned, and that's probably the biggest reason why. You've got some statistical outliers happening right now, I think, or just some weird things happening balls.
There might be a combination of things, too. Remember, what is he best at? He's best at driving in runs. How do you drive in runs? Men have to be on base. They're not walking. Maybe he's not. I'd have to look it up. Now, Tim Anderson is hitting. It's amazing. Tim Anderson is hitting, but he has three walks. Still has a .368 on base.
Well,
it's incredible because he's such a good hitter.
He hits the ball.
He is such a good hitter. So there could be a combination of things, but I'm not really worried that Abreu is going to hit .200 and not drive in runs the rest of the year. I'm not.
I don't
Grandal,
think so.
We've seen him hit like .170 at times.
That's not surprising.
Right. I mean, at this point, stretches.
It's just not. It's not that surprising.
But they need more than Abreu to get going, you know?
They do. They really do. I don't want to. You can't put everything on Jose Abreu right now. You know, this whole, the offense just in general, like I said, it's even Robert. We could start nitpicking some. I mean, he's been great.
He's been chasing, in my opinion. I thought he chased a little bit against the Yankees yesterday. Again, I think he has just six walks. A slugger like that should have more walks because he should be pitched more carefully and be taken. They're not in rhythm. They're not handing that baton off. You always hear that about offenses.
They're just not. And there's not a ton, I think, even in Jose Abreu's strikeout log that you'd say, look how much he's swinging and missing, or he's swinging. You know, we could do the deeper statistical dive into the type of pitches. He's got 1-3 strikeout game this year. He hasn't missed many games, if any at all. Jose usually doesn't miss games. you know, I don't know if you'd be more alarmed, I think, if, okay, this is the slash line and he looks old and the bat looks slow and he's got at least three strikeouts in six of his last 14 games and he's not hitting the ball hard. I think we'd be saying, we'd be talking about it this much differently if all that were happening, and it's really not. So mark it down for what it's worth now on May 16th. I'm not too worried about it yet. No. Something tells me Jose will bounce back.
About a month of baseball, that's still an... you could just say it's a slow start.
Yeah.
You could just say it's a slow start.
And just some luck. Some unlucky things happening.
Right. A month from now, six weeks, then you start to get worried about the numbers.
Excuse me. Some bad luck. Yeah. Eddie's in Lake Bluff. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, I was just... want to mention that when I see the White Sox, a lot of their main hitters are all... They're all the same type of hitters. They're all dead ball fast hitters. That's why I like the, you know, Madrigal in that lineup. Not to say that he's, you know, going to change everything, but he balances the lineup. So when you have a pitcher that comes in with a good slider, all your top hitters that are dead ball hitters are going to do the same thing. They're going to strike out looking for that fastball, and that slider comes off looking like a fastball.
All right, Eddie, listen, first of all, Nick Madrigal. Nick Madrigal stinks. Nick Madrigal's got an OPS plus of 42. Let's not pretend like the White Sox missed Nick Madrigal
for one second. You never know.
Okay.
And in the White Sox
lineup.
Got an OPS
plus of 42. But, Eddie, okay, I mean, are they a bunch of fastball hitters? Yeah, they are. Most big leaguers are good fastball hitters.
Yeah, I'd have to do a deeper dive, but we're getting in the weeds a little bit. I mean, I kind of think Tim Anderson can hit any pitching.
Tim Anderson can hit anything.
I think, at his best, Vaughn can hit off speed.
I think he can, too.
Abreu, he's not driving in 100 runs a year just on fastballs, so I don't know if I completely agree. I'd have to look, though.
They are good fastball hitters.
Yes.
They are. And if you're a better hitting team if you're a more patient team and you allow yourselves the luxury to sit on fastballs most of the time. If you can be patient, if you can force guys to throw stuff over the plate. Now, if their secondary stuff is always in for strikes, the good pitchers are going to be the good pitchers. Good pitchers have an advantage over hitters. They always have. They always will. An excellent pitcher who can command his secondary stuff and can throw it for strikes, they're always going to have an advantage. Big league hitters mostly sit on fastballs, don't they?
Yes.
I mean,
absolutely.
That's kind of the way you're going to survive. You know,
absolutely.
You got to be disciplined enough to force them to throw you pitches to hit.
Which is why pitchers now throw less fastballs and all this other stuff. It's like trending towards off speed because hitters sit on fastballs.
Why is Mike Trout good? Because Mike Trout forces teams to throw him pitches in the zone, and then he's good enough to not miss them. He doesn't expand his zone a whole heck of a lot. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that it's just the pitch type, Eddie. I think it's an approach and a discipline thing, and it speaks to the issue that they are dead last in the American League in walks right now.
Yes.
I think that like the profile
sums
of
it
is
up. It
that's
sums
kind
it all
of
up.
It right now.
Yeah, that sums up everything.
We'll grab some more calls. We got to transition into some of the NBA.
Yeah,
I mean, what happened
absolutely.
In Phoenix last night is an all-time
one of the
stunner.
Most unpredictable things you'd ever see.
We'll clean up some baseball calls. If you want to talk Sox with us, feel free to jump in. Jesse's here. If you want to ask him a question, Sox, Cubs, fire away at him. 312-332-3776. Don't forget to watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app and search ESPN 1000 Chicago. And you can join the chat there and see us in the first Midwest Bank State Street studio today and every day. Jesse's in for York. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Jesse's in for Yurko. Yurk's back tomorrow. We might as well read Jesse's sponsor. Why not? We love those guys. Jesse's brought to you by Design First Builders. You're going to Cubs Pirates tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to go check in with the Cubs after that victorious road trip.
4-2. All right, good for the Cubs.
But it's weird because usually they're great at home. They lost 5 in a row at home. White Sox, you know, got them. And then they go on the road and they win in the West, which is hard to do.
Give the stat you just gave me.
Which one? Oh, there. I mentioned this to Cap and Jay Hood, too. I think Cap was already on his app. The Cubs are 8-5 during the day games, 5-15 at night.
Mm.
Now, fortunately, like this weekend, they play 3 day games because it's Wrigley, but it's 4 night games this week before that, Monday through Thursday, 5-15 at night. That's not going to get you anywhere with, you know.
Good little betting trend, Jess.
Yeah, so there you go. Which, of course, they're going to win the night, you know.
Probably.
That's just
they're playing the Pirates. They should beat the Pirates.
Should, but they lost 3-4 to them last time home.
We'll wrap up a few baseball calls, too, coming up here. If you got a question for Jesse, 312-332-3776. NBA playoffs this weekend. Boston, you got to hand it to them. To go in Friday night into Milwaukee and won the way they won. Tatum was so good in the second half. He was so good in the fourth quarter. It was spectacular. They weathered an incredible Giannis game. What Giannis had 40 and 20, I think, right?
Yep.
On Friday night. I mean, to weather
first
that kind of game.
First time since Shaq, I think, to have those numbers.
To weather that kind of a game and be able to get it back to your building, you knew it would be maybe pretty tough for Boston, for Milwaukee to win a third game on the road in Boston.
And they blew him out.
When it was all said and done, they blew him out. Giannis really struggled in the second half. It's funny. Giannis had, 25-20, back-to-back 20-rebound games in the playoffs. Giannis had 25-20-9, I think it was, and he kind of had Giannis didn't play so well. How'd you like to have 25-20-9, right. And people are like, Giannis, you did not show up for game seven.
They evolved, if that's the right word, or devolved, into a one-man team. And when he wasn't
Middleton.
Right. When
they couldn't make shots.
Completely. Right. Grayson Allen was gone, like we talked about before. But the other game was just one of the most unpredictable days, moments, in recent sports memory.
There's no way to fully understand it at this point. It's as, I'll tell you, the two biggest head scratchers of the year in 2022 in terms of sports, where you just, I'll never be able to understand what happened in the second half of the AFC title game, ever. I'll never be able to understand what happened to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah, yep.
There is truly no explaining what the hell happened. Going into halftime when he blew it and they failed to get points. And then,
but still leading and feeling good about themselves.
I don't think we'll ever understand like what really happened and how he was so bad and that team was so bad in the second half. And I will never be able to explain what happened in Phoenix last night.
How
65 games? The Suns? 67?
Something like that,
How was 65 or 67 with team? The number one seed, seemingly healthy. I know there's some whispers about Paul having a quad injury that's pretty serious. But seemingly healthy, like Ayton healthy, Booker healthy as far as we know, right? Bridges healthy as far as we know. I'll never understand a team that was that good at home, number one seed in the league, being down by 40 points in a game seven,
so
ever.
Here's my takeaway. It includes Kansas City as well. The key, obviously, and this is just obvious, the fact that it happened at home in both those cases just is mind-boggling.
Usually
that affects the visiting team, right, the crowd and everything, especially a veteran team. It's not like the Suns haven't, at least in the last year, they've grown up and
they were ready for prime time.
This wasn't like a first time.
No.
If anything, Dallas. So in both cases, but especially in Phoenix, and I am no expert, you are not expert, we haven't played professionally, we don't have an NBA coach on, but in both cases, but especially Phoenix, they look like they played tight. They look like they played tight, especially when the game was on the line early, They looked, I would love to see the stat, how many one pass or less sets they ran before a shot, right? In the first half, first quarter, Devin Booker was just, just wild
awful.
And crazy. It was one dribble shot, one pass shot. There was no mix on offense at all. Booker was just awful, 3 of 14 from the field. They looked like they played tight. And again, I say that not being an expert, anything like that. And in the second half in Kansas City, it kind of looked like the same. As the game got close, it looked like Mahomes tightened up. And
I
don't know.
It was so out of character, Jess. Yeah. You're right. The way the Suns played all year, how efficient they were. Yeah, they had a 2-0 series lead in this series.
They had a swagger all year.
It makes me think that something happened that we just don't know about, like a LeBron Delonte West thing. I don't know. I mean, who knows? I don't
maybe
know how else to explain
sports.
It.
That's what we love about it.
This seems so beyond that.
So let's ask that question. Can you think of a more unpredictable finish, moment, game, even series? We were talking upstairs.
I can give you some series.
The Red Sox-Yankees, I guess, down 3-0.
That's a good one.
Anybody that's down 3-0 and wins is unpredictable.
Yep.
But still,
that's a very good game.
A single game. Maybe the Falcons collapse.
The Falcons collapse is an excellent one.
Danny wanted to say Kansas. He had me convinced the Jayhawks come back.
The Jayhawks were a number one seed.
what? I'm like, yeah, that's not a bad one.
Yes, it is.
You convinced me otherwise.
It's a bad one. They were the number one seed.
Yeah.
Right, come on. I'll give you a couple.
Yeah.
The 2011 Miami Heat. I think it's the championship that is going to haunt LeBron. It's the one that really got away from him.
Right.
Remember, they had home court in that series. They were up 2-1 on the Mavs, and they blew it. And LeBron was really bad. He looked disinterested in games. What it would have been games 5 and 6, right? That one sticks out to me. The 06 Mavericks. The franchise has been on the wrong side of one of these. That was a 60 win Mavs team. Dwayne Wade was in only his third year. They were up 2-0 on the Heat with home court advantage. Now, you could say, well, Carm, it was Dwayne Wade. And it was, but they were up 2-0 as a 60-win team with right. Prime Dirk. Like, that shouldn't have happened. Dwayne Wade did put on one of the most spectacular playoff performances I've ever seen in my life. At any point in my life, what he did in the final four games, if people remember in 06, was breathtaking. That's how good and beautiful it was. He averaged 40 a game. I mean, it was just like there was no stopping him in those last four. But that would be one of those, like, you talk about holy cow unlikely. Dwayne Wade in his third year is going to beat Dirk, a 60-win Dirk team that was up 2-0,
yeah.
Mind you. The Heat didn't lose a game after that. They ripped off four straight. They won in six.
Yeah,
so that one's up there for me.
Yeah, yesterday, if the 72-win Bulls team had lost at home, that would compare to yesterday.
Well, and it's the way you lose. It's to be down.
Yeah.
They scored 27 points in the first half.
Down 30 at halftime.
Luka outscored their starters in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And I think he had matched the entire team by halftime. Didn't Luka have 27 at the half?
Yes,
I believe
he did. He matched them at halftime.
I saw that on SportsCenter this morning.
Boy, did Phoenix just play tight and an individual game. Nothing that got him there. It was like the first day of training camp. You know, you're just kind of everybody's off. You know, there's no cohesiveness or anything like that. It was just that's what's so unpredictable. They were 6-point favorites. You're like, oh, okay, go either way. Maybe they lose by a point or two, whatever.
Totally bizarre.
So that's just I wanted close games, but it's just fun to be that unpredictable.
Games and moments that strike you as just odd or unbelievable. 312-332-3776. If you could think of anything that even comes close to the Suns collapse yesterday. I don't know that there is one. They were up 2-0 in the series. You had game 7 where you were great all year back on your home floor. It's just like, what in God's name? Like, they lose by 3, okay. The best player in the series is Luka. You get it. You know, okay, they lost by 3.
Right.
We'd still be bagging on him maybe a little.
Right.
But to be down by 40 points, to never be really, really after, what, about the 7-minute mark of the second quarter, to really ever be in that game is like...
0-3 wow. Cubs, as Adam mentions to me, Adam Abdallah. 0-3 Cubs, up 3-2 with Wood and Pryor. There wasn't really anything that special about the Marlins, right?
Yeah,
weren't they a wild card team?
They
Marlins,
were.
Yeah.
They were.
The Cubs were coming back home.
Yeah, with Wood and Pryor, that's true.
I would say, just using the word unpredictable, that was a pretty unpredictable finish. Forget Bartman for a moment. Just Wood and Pryor not winning one of those games.
Yeah, probably the second one more than anything.
Yeah.
Especially after they took a lead. Remember, Woody hit a home run and...
What do you mean the second one? You mean game seven?
Game seven.
Well,
most
people think that game six, once they lost game six, they were done.
I guess, but they had a lead. Game seven, Woody hit
the home run. Right. Yeah. Game seven, Wood hit a home run.
And took a lead.
Wrigleyville was on fire.
It was.
People thought that they were advancing.
Really?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Yes.
The defeatist thought.
They had a lead early in the
after
game.
After six, it was over.
They might have even been down early. Then they took a lead, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not a Cubs historian, but I think they took a lead. Woody hit a home run like in the third inning or something. They had a lead, and then they blew that too. I'll go back and double check, but I think Chris and I are remembering that correctly. You know, six was a gut punch. You're right.
You have a better memory than me. Isn't that the series where wasn't it Alou scheduled his flight back home right
after game six?
After six, right? Yes. Right.
Yes.
It was him and who else? Alou and
I don't know.
I can't remember.
But I remember that came out about Moises Alou.
So I mean, if I'm thinking they're done and he's already booking his flight,
I'm going back to
one of the funniest stories.
All right, we got a bunch of calls on this. We'll take them coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Jesse's in for York. We're coming right back.
Working from home?
Or back in the office?
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, let's take some calls, Jess. People want to chat. The unexpected, the mind-boggling, how the Chiefs lost the way they did in the second half of that AFC title game. But really, it comes to mind because last night, now, I don't know that there's anybody on the planet that could figure out what the hell happened.
I know. Tweeter says the 18-19 Lightning had 128 points in the regular season, swept in the first round by Columbus. That's up there is unpredictable. I know it's a whole series.
Also hockey.
I know, but it's a sweep.
Eight seeds in hockey win more often than you think. It's not like the NBA.
But the key is a sweep. If they had won 4-1, he wouldn't have even
tweeted it. Yeah, I guess. That was surprising to get swept like that. But in hockey, it's possible.
Yeah.
Guess what the Lightning have done since? Back-to-back titles.
And that's unpredictable, too.
And they went in and they won a game 7 in Toronto.
Right.
What was that? Saturday night.
Poor Leafs.
Or the Leafs.
Poor Leafs.
Oof. They got their that fan base is tortured.
When I covered hockey, man, it was so fun to go to Vancouver when the Blackhawks would beat them. I would like take the train back to the hotel, and these Canuck fans would be so depressed,
just
so despised. They just love their hockey up there.
And those Leafs fans haven't won a title since '67, and another
they keep
awful
losing
early
game sevens and all this stuff.
You got Matthews, and you're out again in the first round. You got Marner, you got Matthews,
70
you got
goals.
Riley. Let's go. Let's see. What do we? Let's go to Ron in Bolingbrook. He's got one for us. What's up, Ron?
Hey guys. The year that Notre Dame went up against Alabama in the national championship, I watched Manti Te'o destroy quarterbacks and offenses all year. And then in that game against Alabama, he disappeared. You heard nothing about him.
Well,
but
and that,
the
you've
other
got
one I wanted to mention is the Cubs World Series.
Yes, the Cubs World Series. What in 16?
They all the Guardians had to do is win one more game, and the Cubs would have been done, right?
Guardians were up 3-1. Yeah, you're right about that, Ron. They were up 3-1. I don't know that unlikely because the Cubs were so good that year.
Yeah, it's not comparable to Phoenix, but sure, certainly any team down 3-1. Well, I don't know why we always make a big deal out of that kind of stuff because. The team that went up 3-1 won three games. How hard is it?
Yeah.
I know it's three in a row. I know you might tighten up down 3-1, but I can't compare that to what happened yesterday.
One more thing, guys, before Roll Tide.
I couldn't compare the Notre Dame. I think most of us knew Notre Dame was going to get taken to pieces by Alabama.
Yeah,
Wasn't Notre Dame like a 10-point underdog?
Yeah, it was. That was ass-kicking. That cover of the Sports Illustrated, I think it's... Is it Lacey that's running over the dude? Like, he's stepping on him. Like, it was...
Could be wrong, but
Manti was focused on his girlfriend.
His girlfriend, yeah. My guess is that was like a double-digit spread. I think most of us, I knew that Notre Dame would get torn to pieces by Alabama.
31-14, I just looked up.
That was the final?
I think so.
What was the spread in that game? Do we have anybody?
It was, I want to say it was 10.5.
That's right. I mean, it was like a double-digit
I think it was
spread.
10.5.
Yeah. Right. Kind of knew that they were going to
There's plenty of college teams that run through the regular season, then they... You get beat in the bowl
game.
Yeah,
the Big Ten.
Exactly.
Mike is in Beverly. What's up, Mike?
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey guys. I'm at Portillo's right now ordering food.
Order some for us.
What you getting, Mike?
What are you getting, Mike?
Oh, man. I'm getting the Polish right now at Portillo's and, of course, the fries and the Italian sausage. Damn. And, you got to finish it down with a Coke.
All right. I mean, this sounds good. Are you having the Polish and the Italian sausage, or are you buying lunch for something?
I'm a skinny guy in a fat man's body.
God bless you, Mike. Right.
I'm on no carbs. You're killing me.
You like the sweet peppers or the hot jardinera on the beef sandwich?
I like the sweet. I like the sweet
on
there.
I like it, too. I like the
sweet. I like sweet the
butter. Sweet. All right, so, Mike, go ahead. Which one now? What did you want to talk about?
So the one I want to talk about is the 2012 Bulls when Derrick Rose tore his ACL. That killed the team after that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then I want to say the 2016 Bulls. If I remember right, were they up like 2-0 against the Miami Heat or something like that?
No, that would have been Cleveland. That would have 2-1. That was the year they were up 2-1
Cleveland,
on the
right.
Run.
Yeah, Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one where Derrick Rose hit the game-winning shot.
But here's the difference. And, Mike, enjoy your Portillo's. Here's the difference on both of those. First of all, the first time, how stunning is the outcome when Derrick Rose, who was their best player, gets hurt in game one?
Right.
And then Joe... got hurt later in that series. Didn't Joe miss like the last two games or something?
Yeah, I mean
you're
you
not
can't say
win.
That's unpredictable
no.
at all.
And
really.
You can't. Unfortunately, you can't say it's unpredictable when you lose to LeBron. You just can't. Right. Now, they had a chance to go up 3-1. They blew it. LeBron hit a game winner to
beating
tie the
beating them
series.
Would have been unpredictable.
That's the unpredictable.
Yeah. They continued on and won that series for sure.
Sylvie reiterated, too, that we were right about that a lose home run in Game 7 gave the Cubs the lead after Wood hit a home run. But they did have like a 5-3 lead. That's not much of a lead, I guess. But they did have a lead in Game 7.
I'm just
in 0-3, and they still
the feeling
it.
That stays with me, and I'd love to ask Sylvie during our crosstalk, the thing that stays with me is after Game 6, I just felt like that's it. God, maybe that was just me.
I thought, of course. I think you're right. Jess, I think ultimately you're right at all.
Cub fans. You know, I grew up a Cub fan, my defeatist attitude is instilled in you.
I thought after Giannis and the Bucks won Game 5, I'm like, well, they're not going to lose Game 6 Friday. Well, I was surprised they lost Game 6 Friday night at home. I really was. I was surprised. They were not a great home
team. You know
why
I wasn't? The Celtics, man.
They're good.
Second half Celtics, that's the best team in the NBA in the second half.
It feels like the ultimate champ is going to win that. I felt like the whole time the winner of this series will be the champ.
Of at least the East.
Something's made me... Well, I thought to win the title.
Oh, really?
Something's made me reconsider that a little. I'll explain that to you coming up.
Klay Thompson and...
No, it's not even that. I'll explain it coming up. And if you want to join us, the all-time great unpredictable losses...
Finishes
that you just can't explain. Let us know what you think. 312-332-3776. We're back in 2 minutes.